its current state here on 90.5 WKAR. The Michigan Department of Environmental Quality proposed new rules in late April to regulate hydraulic fracturing in Michigan, or fracking. The new regulations focus on monitoring high-volume fracking operations for water quality and supplying more information to the public. James Clift is Policy Director for the Michigan Environmental Council. He says the new regulations are a step in the right direction. However, there are some flaws with the proposed changes. And James joins us now to break down the new regulations. Good to see you.
Good to see you.
The new fracking regulations focus on high-volume operations. What constitutes a high-volume fracking operation?
Yeah, they use 100,000 gallons of water that they inject into the well under high pressure with sand and chemicals to kind of free up the natural gas. So that's the threshold there.
Okay. And how many of these high-volume fracking operations are currently operating in Michigan?
We only have a dozen or two currently in operation. Part of that is the relatively low price of natural gas today. So if we were to see that increase, we think we'd see a lot more of these wells coming to Michigan.
Okay. Are there many parties or companies in the process of applying for permits?
You know, currently they're kind of trickling in, and some of that's based on that current price of natural gas. So what we're seeing is some very large companies in Michigan, and they're kind of poking around the edges, doing some testing. I think for that day where the price might go up, and then you would see them bring all of their operations into Michigan. You might see hundreds of wells very quickly if that price of natural gas goes up.
One of the new regulations requires baseline water testing for these high-volume operations. What will baseline testing tell us about fracking?
What you're trying to do there is establish, you know, what was the condition of water when they got there? Just in case there's a problem with the well or a spill, there'll be no argument of, was that there beforehand? So what we're trying to do is kind of say, okay, what was the conditions then? The big question I'm hearing around the state, because, you know, a lot of the oil and gas operations we're seeing today are moving into southern Lower Peninsula, usually looking for oil. I've been in town halls in Scio Township outside of Ann Arbor, Rochester Hills last night, and these folks are kind of asking the same question. Why don't these rules apply to us for traditional oil and gas? Why doesn't everybody have to do this baseline testing before they drill any well in Michigan?
What do you make of that argument?
I think it's a good argument. I mean, you know, it's kind of interesting in that we're having these oil and gas operations move into very kind of settled areas. They're trying to lease underneath subdivisions in Rochester Hills. These people are very concerned about their water quality, and I think they've got a legitimate concern in this area.
And what about the smaller fracking operations? Are they exempt from these proposed regulations?
They are. And, you know, the classic one there was the Antrim Formation in northern Michigan, had about 4,000 wells drilled during the 90s. A lot of those have already been fracked, but those usually used less than 100,000. But, again, I think some of the same concerns apply in those circumstances.
Now, the new fracking rules would also require the full disclosure of the volumes and the types of chemicals used during the fracking process. What kinds of chemicals are typically used in fracking?
Got a number of chemicals there, and usually what we're trying to do is they're trying to loosen up the natural gas, so sometimes it's kind of some different acids, hydrochloric acids and other, to kind of break it up. And then some things to make it slipperier so that they can kind of slide out. So a variety of chemicals that are used as lubricants. They also include sand in there so that when they kind of, under the fracking operations, they kind of blast a fracture into the rocks. That's where the name comes from. Then the sand keeps it open so the natural gas can come out. So a variety of chemicals. You'll see a dozen, two dozen chemicals listed in some of these sites.
And, well, the sand is obviously found in nature, but the lubricants and the hydrochloric acids, probably not.
I would guess.
I mean, how potentially destructive are these chemicals to the environment?
Well, the key here is that on these large volume ones, I said the threshold was 100,000 gallons. We have up to 21 million gallons of fluid being used in some of these wells today. So it's a lot of material. So even though the chemicals are only maybe 1%, that's 50, 100,000 gallons of these different chemicals that might be mixed with that 20 million gallons of water and injected into these wells. So our concern is that's a lot of chemical. Then some of that water comes back to the surface during the drilling operation, making sure that fluid is properly captured. And either treated or re-injected into the ground and not to get to our fresh water. That's the key, is how to keep it out of our fresh water, how to keep it away from the public so they're not exposed to it.
Now, we're talking with James Clift of the Michigan Environmental Council about proposed DEQ regulations regarding fracking in Michigan. Although the regulations would require the disclosure of chemicals, this is very interesting. They have a broad timeline to disclose that information. When would operations have to post the chemicals they use?
Yeah, so it's 30 days after drilling. So this is an industry that really is just cloaked in secrecy. And maybe that's from the original, you know, back in the 20s and 30s where, you know, this was kind of the wildcat operation where you didn't want your competitor to know you, where you were. So they're actually exempted from a wide variety of laws, and they're not required to tell anybody until kind of after the fact. Well, in today's society, Google Earth, all their competitors know exactly where they are. So a lot of these exemptions from laws and the secrecy that I think cloaks the industry, I think all these regulations need to be revised. The public deserves this information before the drilling starts so that if they want to do their own baseline testing, they know what to look for. They know what types of chemicals the company might be using on their property.
Michigan, we should point out, Michigan has a pretty respectable record on fracking safety. How relevant is that?
That is relevant. I mean, we've up till now have done a pretty good job in protecting our freshwater resources. I think we look at the fact that these operations continue to grow in scope. You know, they used to be 100,000 gallons just a decade ago, and now we're talking 21 million gallons of water being used. So our question is, have the regulations kept up with the growth of the size of the operations and the risk they pose to Michigan's natural resources? We don't think they have. We think they're trying. This is a step in the right direction. But in a number of areas, we think they have to review the exemptions these operations currently have from law and bring them into the fold of being regulated like any other industrial operation in the state.
We'll point out also that the DEQ will be asking for public feedback regarding the proposed fracking rules for this summer. We want to thank our guest. James Clift is Policy Director for the Michigan Environmental Council. Thanks, James.
Thank you.
And this segment is supported by Michigan State University's Knight Center for Environmental Journalism. More news about the Great Lakes environment can be found at greatlakesecho.org and on Current State every Tuesday as part of our partnership.